It is 8 o'clock. On a Thursday. One of you is listening to the podcast, and I can hear myself in the background.
That's Beth. It's Beth. This is how she returns to us.
Beth?
What'd I do?
Has this been fixed? You ruined the podcast. It's not even 8:01.
Fine.
You didn't even say anything, and you ruined the podcast.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. I don't even know what I was doing. I had a cold open prepared, and it was going to be something special.
You say hi before you yell at me.
And now it's not. Well, I didn't have a chance to, Beth, because when I was talking, I was hearing myself talk back at myself. That's not the way that podcasts work.
I'm glad Beth is back.
I am. Beth has ruined the podcast.
Fine. Let's just accept that and move on.
We're accepting it. We're moving on. I don't even remember how I was going to start this. So instead,
Bobby
I'm just
Farm.
Going to say this show is sponsored by Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/blueshirtbanter, you can select a button that will donate money that you've earned into our Patreon wallet. That Patreon wallet goes into a fund that we dip into to do things for the show, like get Mike and Beth fancy Skype subscriptions, and Mike bought a microphone, and Beth is going to buy a microphone. And in the event that Beth ever does lick Brady Shea, we will attempt to bail her out of jail with what little money we have remaining. So patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. John J. Porter, Anthony Viola, Alexander Ricard, Guy from Montana, Daniel DeGem, Eric Cohn, Matt Bader, George Littman, Dan Lynch, Andrew Grigo, Bob Kawa? Bob, you need to tell me how to pronounce your name. Stink Fleeman, John Reppy, Arch Williams, Igor Zatlovsky, Dan Carosi, Alexander Thornton, Thomas Oster, Trevor Kempner, and Michael Silvers have all done just that. And guess what? They got to hear their names read by the infamous
Bantering
the Blue Shirts Bandits, which is what we're calling ourselves these days.
I don't want to be a bandit. That's terrible.
We already have a caller. Do we take the caller right away?
The show's already right off the rails. Might as well.
So we may as well. 516, you're on the air. Who's this?
What's up, guys? It's John. How are you?
What's going on, John? How are you doing?
John!
Yes. Great show to start off with, guys. It's always a fun Thursday night with you guys.
That's what we're here for. That was going to be my open. It was going to be something about it being Thursday. Go ahead, John.
No, I just wanted to just touch on a couple of things. And I'm the one who posed the question to you guys last week regarding if the Rangers improved or have gotten better this offseason. And I just kind of wanted to, elaborate a little bit more on that. Like I said, we're in the dog days of summer, and there's really not much going on. And, I'm following the European stuff, with Elias Anderson and Heifel and everything else, which is fun. But, our main focus is Rangers hockey. But, I was just looking at the last, I would say last 10 years of Stanley Cup champions. And, I think about that 2014 team and, how close we were. And I know it was a five-game series. And in some ways, three of the games went to overtime. One of the games was by one goal. I mean, there's really only one game that you can honestly say that they were completely out of, which is probably game three. I look at that team and what that team had, that 2014 team had, which I think this new team is lacking, is that veteran leadership. The guys that have won, the guys that have been to a Stanley Cup, that have won, that have hoisted it. And I just look at this team and I love the team, and I love, the young players, and I, obviously I love Henrik Lundqvist, but I just feel like to be a true Stanley Cup champion, I think you need a good balance of veteran players that are good pedigree. I'm not talking about Rick Nash, I'm talking about a good pedigree of players that are winners, that know how to win, and young players that are hungry and are on the upswing. And I think we have the young players that are on the upswing. I question whether or not this team has the veteran leadership to really forge ahead and possibly win a Stanley Cup. I mean, we've seen the other teams that have won, and it's either with elite talent. And that's the one thing that the Rangers don't have either. They don't have that elite talent either. So I think that I don't know how you guys feel, but do you feel that this team is veteran-laden enough to, when the chips are on the table, can they look around the room and say, all right, guys, this is what we need to do? I just don't see it.
Well, I guess it's a good question, and I think it's a question that a lot of people are going to wonder about as we go through the year, and it's one of those very easy narratives that the media will probably jump on if the Rangers come out of the gate struggling or whenever they hit their issues. Well, the way that I'll answer that is this. In 2014, I don't think the Rangers really had any elite players. Richards was good, but he was older. Like, Lundqvist would probably be really the guy that I would say was elite. Martin St. Louis was towards the end of his career. The Rangers got really, really lucky with the Brassard, Zuccarello, Pouliot line. Down the middle, it was Stefan, Richards, and Brassard. So it wasn't a ton of – it's. I wouldn't say it's all that much different from this year's team. But I think one of the concerns that you have that I believe is very valid – oftentimes you hear Pittsburgh talk about the fact that they had to lose that first Stanley Cup series to the Wings in order to win the next one. There had to be that – you had to go through something like that in order to learn how to win. And a lot of hockey teams talk about that. A lot of the dynasties talk about that. And it doesn't need to be necessarily a Stanley Cup loss. It could be an Eastern Conference final loss or something to get you over that hump. And I think that the core that the Rangers have sort of jettisoned out of New York, right or wrong, it was that group, a group that the Stepans of the world, the Girardis of the world, I guess even maybe the Boyles and the Yandles and the whatever, all these guys that have gone through those deep playoff runs, there's not so many of them left anymore. And does that kind of scare me? Not really. The key parts of this team, the McDonoughs, the Henrik Lundqvists, even you want to go to guys like Staal, but Jesper Fast and Rick Nash and all these other guys, Zuccarello, who have been there through the long haul, I think the Rangers have enough of them. I think this veteran leadership aspect of things is sometimes overlooked. You don't necessarily need someone who's been in the room before to win a Stanley Cup. You don't need somebody who's won the Stanley Cup before to know what it takes to win the Stanley Cup. You just need to have – go ahead.
I don't totally disagree with you, but if you look back on the teams that have won, they've had those players in the locker room that have at least been there and done that. If you look at the Pittsburgh team, who lost the year before, brought in Bill Guerin. If you look at the Carolina team, brought in Mark Recchi, and so did Boston the year that they won, they brought in Mark Recchi.
The only team that might
be a little bit of a different scenario is maybe L.A., but L.A. was just so stacked with upper echelon talent that, you know, they just got hot. And, you know what, we don't have players remotely as talented as Kopitar and Drew Doughty.
But how much
and Jonathan
of that
got hot?
Is like the narrative? Like, how much did Bill Guerin really help in the Stanley Cup runs, honestly?
You know what, he played, well, I feel he played a role in the locker room. I think you need to hear, you need a voice. And as much as we love Ryan McDonagh, and I'm going to get a lot of heat from people, I'm sure, for this, I don't think he's a good captain. I think he has a lot of Brian Leetch in him, and Brian Leetch by far is one of the best Rangers to ever play for the Rangers, but he was a horrible captain.
I think even Brian Leetch would agree with you about that. I don't think Brian Leetch
I just think McDonagh, though, he's our best defenseman. I love him as a player. I wouldn't give him up for next to probably anyone, with the exception of a few guys. But, you know, I love his heart. I love his tenacity. I think he's a phenomenal player, but I just don't think he's a great captain. And, you know, that's just my own opinion. I think the veteran leadership on this team for the last 5 years, and I know Stefan and Girardi are gone, but Mark Staal's still here, and there's still the core group that are still a lot – there are a lot of losers on this team still. And I think until that's addressed, I think they're going to have issues.
Well,
that's just my own opinion. I think they need to change the culture.
Beth wants to jump in here, but I do want to thank you, John, because you've at least pointed us in a direction. You've given us a lot to
my pleasure, guys.
So,
Have a great night.
No, it's a very valid point. Thank you, John.
John, I want to agree with you about one thing and disagree with you about another. I agree with you that I'm not sure McDonagh is the captain to get this team a cup. He wouldn't have been my choice. I'm not in the room. My opinion doesn't count. And the way I'm going to disagree with you is to say that I think you're underestimating Nash's influence. His exit interview on Breakup Day last year, you know, they asked him about this season, they asked him about next season, and what he said, and I'm probably quoting almost verbatim, he's like, a guy my age, all you want is a cup. He doesn't care how else the season goes. Nothing else matters. And I think he tends to be a self-effacing guy. I think he should. I realize that there were politics involved in coming from Columbus and everything. I think he should be a captain somewhere. That's just not the way it's going to play out for him. I think he's self-effacing because he's not captain, because there's Lundqvist on the team who also plays that role. I would really like to see, and I really hope that Rick Nash wants it enough, and I think he does, to step up in the room this year and be that guy and be that veteran who knows his days are numbered, who can still have an amazing season, and I will stand behind that, can still earn his salary, and realizes that his window is closing, and also I really hope can be more than a voice. The other, Stepan's gone, Girardi's gone. Okay, McDonough's still captain. I would really like to see Nash take a leadership role this year. And the thing is, we won't see it. It has to happen in the room. But so, yeah, I agree that I'm not as crazy about McDonough's leadership on this team. Again, with also agreeing with all the good things you said about him. I am very much hoping that Nash actually does step up and become the guy in the room that you say is needed.
And let me say this too, and just John's final point was the culture has to be changed. I don't think the culture could have been changed any more than it really was this summer. Girardi's gone. Stepan is gone. Those are two very loud voices in the locker room. You have Shattenkirk coming in, Zibanejad's coming back on a new contract. He's been around for a little, at least long enough now that he probably has a voice. The main part of that core isn't really there anymore. The Rangers are a different team, and I get the allure of this veteran won the cup before, you know, yada yada, but how much do those guys actually help? If you're telling me that the New York Rangers need somebody to walk into the room and go, hey, I've won the Stanley Cup before, it's really cool, here's the secret to how to win it again, I don't think that exists. I don't think that player, like, oh, what is Guerin going to say? And not necessarily Guerin, but anybody. Like Beth said, what are they going to say that Rick Nash isn't going to say just because they've won the cup before? I mean, the Rangers had three cup winners on that 14 team in Carcillo, Richards, and St. Louis, and I don't think you could pick two better leaders in that regard of veteran leadership than St. Louis and Richards. And not that it didn't help the Rangers, but it wasn't the key. It didn't open up any doors. It just is what it is. So what I think a lot of people look at is they say, oh, there's no more Girardi in the room. There's no more Stepan. What's going to happen? Who's going to be the leader that's going to step up? I don't know how vocal McDonough is in the room. I don't necessarily agree that maybe, like, what do we think is a captain? I don't think Ryan Callahan was a good captain. I think, actually, I believe that Brad Richards pretty much admitted that at the time when he left. I think, you know, Chris Drury was a great captain, right? And what did that get the Rangers? So I don't think that matters. I don't think this is the olden days where you have one guy in the locker room talking and it's the guy with the C on his chest. I think everybody has a role in that development. And I think the Rangers have enough veteran leadership in that locker room to know McDonough's hungry. Nash is hungry. Zuccarello is hungry. You have a lot of guys that are coming to maybe either the peak of their career or they're just tailing off. There's no one hungrier than Henrik Lundqvist. I would argue there is no one hungrier than Henrik Lundqvist in the entire league to win a Stanley Cup. And I don't think I'm being biased or anything. So, I don't know. Mike, you haven't spoken in forever, so why don't you say some words?
I think this is one of those things that I think is a very good point for discussion because, I mean, other than counting cup rings, we don't have stats or, you know, things to look at to, you know, there's no way to measure something that's an intangible like leadership. But, you know, it's like that like the Supreme Court definition of pornography. Like I know it when I see it, kind of a thing. You know it. You know a good leader when you see one. Like obviously the archetype is Messier, and I think it was a surprise to no one, especially, you know, Messier and Leach, that, you know, when Messier came back to the Rangers, Leach was, you know, happy to give up the C. But there's definitely the point that Joe made, I think, is definitely relevant here, that we already saw two guys who routinely wore letters on their jerseys, the team got rid of them. And before all that happened, you know, we talked about it. Like, we heard so much about, you know, the questions, has this core group gone as far as it can go, you know, on breakup day? We heard all of those quotes and questions. And I also know it's really interesting and tempting to look at 2014 and think of, like, wow, that was their best chance. But I don't think you can close the window just yet on this group. And I'm also not sure that this team is, you know, a Dominic Moore or Matt Cullen away from the Stanley Cup. The most important thing to point out is that you can get guys like that. You can get your Bill Guerins. You can get, you know, those guys who just add that depth at the deadline. And I think this team has the potential to be a real Cup contender. Is one of the things we were really going to talk about tonight is what other teams in the Metro scare you, because if you look at the, you know, the two kind of perennial powerhouses, Washington and Pittsburgh, they both just strictly got worse. And the Rangers, on the other hand, like John asked, you know, are the Rangers better? I think unanimously we can agree that the Rangers are at least a little bit better and maybe significantly better. But from the views of, you know, fans of other teams, I know that the Rangers are seen as kind of this wild card. They'll either be a team to be feared, or they'll be the same Rangers who get to the playoffs and then for whatever reason they can't get past a team like Ottawa. So I don't have like grave concerns about the leadership group. I admittedly don't put, you know, I don't put too much stock in, you know, oh, that team's never going to make it, they don't have a great leader. You know, I don't think what held, you know, the Oilers back in the playoffs last season is that they're, you know, they had the youngest captain in NHL history and there wasn't enough leadership in the room. And I don't think, you know, we saw Stepan yelling at Hank and, you know, you see all that stuff and I'm sure, you know, beat writers will swarm all over that and talk about like, oh my gosh, this team has no direction or the conflict in the room and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, there's everyone who's there is very good at hockey. And before they got good at hockey, or while they were getting good at hockey before the NHL, they were almost to a man leaders on teams that they came up with, you know, from juniors to the NCAA or, you know, to the CHL or what have you. And it's like you said, Joe, everyone has a role now. There's a locker room full of leaders on every team. There are some times where you have guys that, you know, just fit that mold so well. But I don't think that's a huge pressing problem. But, you know, I do admit I don't worry too much about, what, you know, if the Rangers have, you know, enough of that X factor, enough of that, you know, guarantee we're going to win tonight sort of moxie in the locker room. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you. There's just – for example, does Crosby get considered a great leader because he's won two Stanley Cups? Or is he really just one of the greatest players in the NHL and that's why he won two Stanley Cups? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so tricky.
There's so many narratives that you could throw out there about, oh, this guy's won a couple of Stanley Cups. Like Carcillo has a Stanley Cup. Two of them, actually, I think. Does that mean he's a great leader? You know, does that mean that he's someone that you can bring in and it makes all the difference? And I'm really not trying to mock the thought process here, but I am trying to say it's not necessarily what you think it is. I don't think this leadership is it. And there does need to be some form of leadership, especially with the younger team, which the Rangers are. But the Rangers aren't like the Panthers that have kids that have never played in the NHL before. The Rangers' youth is guys like Hayes and Miller. It's guys like Shea who have been with the team for at least a year as a manager. So you're not talking about guys that need to be taught, you know, quote unquote, how to win, or need to know, oh, you need to be hungry in order to make this work. It's just, I don't know. I don't look at the Rangers and think a lack of leadership is going to be the reason why they don't go very far this year. I look at the Rangers and I think to myself, well, maybe they don't have the best center depth. They're going to kind of look in a, they're going to look a little bit different maybe than they have in the past. Are they going to be able to rely on that defense? Is everything going to, you know, is it going to work out the way that they intend for it to? And that's, those are the types of discussions that I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about, oh, well, you know, they don't have a good leader in the locker room. I don't know. I have other concerns. The hole that Stepan left, the whatever they're doing with the bottom six at this point, this bottom six PTO that we'll get into, there's a lot more there than leadership. Anything else you guys want to talk about on this subject?
No.
I mean, I will add that I think the Rangers are a team that, or they have been in the past. I mean, like you said, I think it's a new year and a new slate in a lot of ways. I think they're a team that goes off the rails pretty easily. And so I would almost wonder if leadership is actually a bigger question for them than for some teams. I mean, Carlson is someone, especially after the last year's series, who I'm thinking of as who can sort of gather his guys, even on a bad night, and somehow keep their heads in the game. And I've wondered sometimes. Yeah.
See, that's shocking. I mean, don't get that vibe from him at all.
I don't know. Things got hit. You know what? Maybe I think I start thinking about him because I'm remembering him imitating Crosby.
But this is the point. Neither of us are right or wrong. This is a matter. Yes. This is literally a subjective answer to the question of what you believe leadership is.
We can't know. We really can't know.
Who's the best captain in the NHL?
Ooh.
God, I don't even.
That's the whole point.
Say Crosby to that.
If you ask five people, you'll get three different answers.
I probably can't even name 10 captains in the NHL.
Well, that's just because you're not bright.
I would bet that I can't name 10 captains in the NHL.
That's
maybe
horrendous.
I can. McDonough, Tavares, Chara, Carlson, Ovechkin, Crosby. Stamkos is the captain in Tampa.
Yeah.
Who else is a captain? Is Kopitar the captain of LA?
Yeah. They stripped Kopitar. It from Brown and gave it to Kopi.
That's right. I do remember that. Yeah, that's about as far as I'm going to get. I could probably think of a couple of others, but this is what you get. So take that, bitches.
I'm ashamed of you. But
I don't think it's that important. And Mike is a good point. If you sat down and you said, hey, listen, I need you to tell me who you think the best captains are in the NHL, you're going to get a different answer from everybody.
Yeah, we're giving out the Mark Messier Leadership Award.
Yeah, who's your guy? And you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, I have no idea.
I actually like that question, though. I just don't know enough about some other teams to be able to answer it. I think it's actually a good question.
I guess the point is there are very few hockey teams that you look at and you go, God, they have really good leadership. That's a team that is great leader. I mean, maybe Chicago, just because of Hossa and Taves and whatnot. But like, that's not why they're winning Stanley Cups. They're winning Stanley Cups because of, unfortunately, the Patrick Kanes of the world. That's why they're winning Stanley Cups. They're a deep, well-built team. Not, oh, they're a really good leadership team. And again, I'm not, this is not me attempting to insult the ideology that you have to, you know, that you need to have a leader. It's just at some point you need to make a decision that maybe skill is more important than what's going on in the locker room. Think if you have two guys who are like screaming at one another on the bench, you could sit there and you could say, okay, obviously there's a leadership problem. Like if the, there were always the rumors with Drury when he was on the team with Jágr that they had split and that the Rangers camp was broken up into two different things and yada, yada, yada. And that's all well and good. And potentially whatever, there were two sides of the locker room, the people who wanted to play the East West, the people who wanted to play the North South. Fine. You have a situation like that that boils over and everybody knows about it. That's a leadership issue. The Rangers have not had one of those in probably since then. So I just don't look at it as a big deal. Plus, the Rangers have Daniel Desjardins. He's like the greatest leader of all time.
Oh, my.
There you go. There's that for you. What else were we going to talk about?
Bobby Farnham.
Ooh, we were going to talk about Farnham, weren't we?
Same thing. Banging Bobby Farnham.
Ooh, I would prefer
banging on the boards with Bobby Farnham.
Ooh, that would be that. You know what? That's going to be the segment that he has before he's inevitably traded. Banging on the boards with Bobby Farnham. Look at him. He's banging on the boards. Banging on the boards with Bobby Farnham.
Did it occur to any of us there might be a new glass? I don't think that ever crossed my mind.
That's so scary. I don't want.
But let's talk about this before we all panic. Do we truly believe that
Bobby
that we're in that type of a that we're in that like realm now that we need to worry about new glass? Oh, by the way, I said Daniel Desjardins. It's David Desjardins. Thank you, Rock, for correcting me in the chat and not publicly. Like I know Mike and Beth wanted to, but they didn't realize that I made the mistake.
I'm still laughing at the way you said Tavares in my head.
Tavares.
That's right.
Tavares. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, you have, you son of a bitch. So Adam Herman has a good point about Farnham, which is basically the Rangers need bodies because they have not that anybody's really throwing hits in the preseason, but the Rangers play some preseason games against division rivals. So he's just somebody who can be a fill-in and the Rangers don't have to worry about him getting hurt. And I like that idea.
Bobby.
What are your thoughts on that idea?
Banging Bobby's body. I don't know. I understand.
That's great.
That
that's a great podcast answer. I don't know.
Well, having a guy like Farnham, you know, who's a high motor guy, he's not the worst kind of guy to have in camp. Obviously, the nightmare is, oh God, he checks one of the kids into the boards and then they break their clavicle or something. But I don't hate it. I just, it's a head scratcher because I think it might come from the direction of, hey, we don't really have a guy like a Farnham or a Glass now. And I thought we kind of saw something similar last season with LaPierre, where it's like, oh, you know, we need, you know, we could maybe use another center and we could use a guy who is just a pain in the ass and everyone hates him. But this is definitely not something for fans to get upset about. If he's getting like a gross amount of ice time at the expense of kids we want to see in preseason, then we can get upset. But, it's one of the, like the Devils invited, who's it, Jimmy Hayes to their camp on a PTO. And, you know, I would have much preferred the Rangers look at, you know, Kevin Hayes' brother just for the story and just for like, oh, that's fun. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. For the Devils, it matters a lot more because they are looking for guys. But Farnham's a winger. The Rangers aren't in the market for wingers, as we know.
Coming out of our ears.
There's not that much to worry about here. It's just one of those. It is, I'm sure, cause for rolling your eyes and, you know, but it's,
we've been hurt
I don't
before,
consider
Mike.
It a bad. Yeah, it's fair. I understand. We've been hurt before. We've seen really questionable decisions made with the roster, but I don't think Farnham, who last season, I'm pretty sure he was stuck in the AHL after Montreal signed him. I'm just not that worried. You know, he played 3 NHL games last season, and the season before that, he played 3 more. You know, this is a guy who's 28 years old, I think, and
yeah.
He has 67 NHL games to his name. He's not taking anyone's job. And he's also 5'10".
Brown. What's with the Ivy League enforcers? I find that so interesting.
Yeah, and George Parros, too. He's a smarty.
That
smart
is somewhat
banger.
Interesting, Parros, isn't it?
Banging.
Parros went to Harvard? Where did Parros
Banging
go?
Bobby Farnham.
Banging Bobby's with Bobby.
Yeah, that came out.
No, Parros went to Princeton.
Wrong.
Sorry.
Yes.
That's a weird trend.
It is.
That is a very peculiar trend.
Like, supposedly, their brains work pretty well, so why are they risking them by
Because they love hockey.
That's fair. I love hockey.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the issue with the fighting in, like, junior hockey, and that's why there's all these concussion conversations, because these guys are not fighting because they want to fight. These guys are fighting because they think it's the only thing they can do to get to the NHL. And in some instances, they may be right. So
I think in a lot of
that's one of the
right.
Yeah, there's definitely, I understand the concern there for that type. Like, if you ever read, I don't know if any of you guys read the Derek Bougard.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would call it. Just, what was it? It was like his biography. It wasn't really a biography. It was some things that he wrote, but it was the expose that the Times did after he passed away.
John Brand did it.
Yeah, that just kind of went through his life and some of the things that he wrote down. And he didn't want to fight. He didn't want to be a fighter, but it was the way that he was able to make it to the NHL. And that's what happens to these guys. It's not.
It's a horrible self-fulfilling prophecy, because that's how he got to the NHL. And then he got paid what he got paid to fight. Meanwhile, you know, his knuckles are migrating up the back of his hand from all the times he's, you know, gotten in bare knuckle boxing matches. And he knows
bare
he's there.
Buckle,
he has to keep his role.
Matches. Buckles are bare.
I'm talking about something serious, Joe. God.
I was scolded.
Tyler Seguin. I lost my train of thought because of you.
Well, but I mean, Mike, you're right. But that's actually the thing that interests me, is a guy like Bugart, he had no other choice. There were no other options for him. These Ivy League guys, I mean, they could get other jobs. It's not their only way out of wherever they are, you know? So I find, like, the discrepancy between their choice and the choice of a guy like Derek Lugard to just be, I think that's kind of interesting, actually. Somebody should write about it.
Michael, that's your cue.
Somebody should. No, you make fun of me, and then I don't feel good about myself.
Are you kidding me?
I love you.
No.
Are you kidding me right now?
Too late. There's tears everywhere.
Tears
apparently
everywhere.
Daryl Powell was a smarty.
But he wasn't a fighter,
but
was he?
No, he's not a tough guy. He was just a banging
Bobby Farnham. It is a difficult situation, and it's something that I don't think the NHL really is capable of getting a grasp on, because you'd have to stop that at the grassroots. You'd have to stop it literally from that's Stanley barking. I don't know what he's barking at, but
Stanley's sick, everyone. Stanley's
yeah,
sick.
Stanley is sick. Oh yeah, I should mention that, by the way, for the world. My dog has a terrible ear infection. He has to go to the vet this weekend, so I'm not sure I'm going to make it to Tony's barbecue. We'll find that out as we go. Some of you don't care, I know, but some of you do care. Some of you are friends. Let me ask this question, now that we're going in that direction. Do we care, for real, that the Rangers did not get Alex Kerfoot?
Who's supposed to go? I'll say things.
Mike can say things.
Yeah, I was reading a bit about that, and Kerfoot explained that... I mean, he went to Colorado, so he did not choose the team based on the best team, obviously. He went for the team where he's going to get ice time. And for the Rangers, his ice time was anything but guaranteed. And, you know, even with, you know, being chums with VC and everything, there's plenty of competition there. It's at least a two-horse race now, and he would have made it a three-horse race for, you know, that spot in the bottom six. The Rangers have gotten, they've won so many of these that having someone like Kerfoot slip away, it just doesn't hurt. It doesn't sting because he's a free asset. We talk about it with all the time. We talked about it a lot with Adam. You know, all he costs is an entry level contract, and it's perfectly fine to spend Dolan's money on just, hey, why not? Let's see. But you know, last season he had his best season in the NCAA. You know, he had 45 points in 36 games, but again, those are not numbers that like soar off the page. And it's also important to remember he was initially a fifth round pick of the Devils. And like VC, we talk about it all the time, you know, he's 23. So, you know, he'll be 23 in his rookie season. And, you know, next offseason he'll be 24 and a sophomore in the NHL. It's very unlikely that the Rangers missed out on something great here. It's never a bad thing to have, you know, another guy in the pipeline to build that, you know, competition in the program and in the AHL and yada, yada, yada. But I'm really not that concerned. I would have liked if they got Kerfoot, but for whatever reason, for me, this doesn't feel like a huge missed opportunity. I was never really that excited about the prospect of him, you know, coming in as an, you know, free agent out of college and jumping right into the Rangers lineup.
I just never stopped laughing that Brooksy called him a Harvard stud.
A Harvard stud.
A Harvard stud.
Here's another smart guy, another Harvard boy, but he also isn't a banging.
Banging out of the
banging
bottom.
Harvard. Ah, la, la. Now it's yucky.
I agree with you, Mike. The loss here is not the fact that the New York Rangers missed out on some amazing prospect. It's just that the New York Rangers missed out on a free prospect, and the Rangers happened to, at this point, just, I don't know, they're doing whatever they can literally to attempt to get any type of bottom six depth. And one of the ways that you can counteract that is by trying to get as many lottery tickets as you can. You're not talking, we're not even talking about a Jimmy VC level player, and Jimmy VC wasn't even, he's not even close to Kevin Hayes. And Kevin Hayes is really, that's the big winner. You know what I mean? Hayes is the guy that you really desperately
want. That's the
chicken
dinner.
That is the, yeah, the chicken, winner chicken dinner. That's the guy that you really do want. So.
I want chicken dinner.
Chicken dinner.
So you don't really lose, you know, you don't lose that. You don't walk away from something. You just kind of, you just deal with it. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And like we talked about last week,
worry about.
It's amazing that the Rangers don't have to be involved in this Will Butcher sweepstakes. They just don't have to worry about it. It's not their problem. It's amazing. Because he's another one who, older guy, played all 4 years in the NCAA, really had his breakout year, his senior year, played on a really good team. Okay. That's not a guy that's going to make an enormous difference next year. That's not a make-or-break guy. And that's not somebody that the Rangers necessarily need. So, yeah.
Yeah, it can't hurt, but the organization doesn't. Right now, the last thing the organization needs is a guy who can compete for a third-pair defensive spot. With that being said, I would love to have another guy who, you know, in a year's time can come in and be on the blue line, especially if the Rangers figure out a way to get rid of Stahl, but there's already a couple guys that are worth a look, and it just, I would love someone like Butcher to get added, but you know, it's one of those things where you want the lottery ticket, but if you don't get it, you're not bummed. It's fine. And
well,
like you said,
we
Joe,
saying?
We've already won out on a couple, like getting VC and Hayes alone. And,
yeah.
You know, and we've seen that before them, and, you know, not in recent history, the Rangers had plenty of guys, the college free agents that, you know, just didn't live up to anything. Like we've talked about with Gilroy and everything, that it was like, oh, okay, this is something. And then, nope, no, it's not. And it's just like anything else, except they're older than a draft pick. So you just find out a little bit sooner what you have.
Like we talked about it right before the show started, the Rangers have a defensive tryout, like a PTO player, make any type of run. Something has gone horribly wrong. Absolutely horribly wrong. The Rangers have, so if we're considering Shea, Stahl, do we want to consider Stahl? No. Let's say Shea, McDonough, Smith, Shattenkirk as your top four. You have Stahl, Holden, Pionk, Berglazov, D'Angelo,
Poink.
All fighting for those final two spots.
Poink.
Poink. Neil Poink. So, yeah. That is not something that the New York Rangers necessarily need to worry about right now. Free lottery tickets are great, but the Rangers have 48 contracts at this moment, so not getting Kerfoot isn't the worst thing in the world. It gives them a little bit more flexibility. The hope is that they don't sign Farnham, even if they just intend to, you know, play him as that 14th forward type guy. But they have some room
free money for a little while.
What did you say?
They give him some free money for a while. That's all.
Yeah, just here you go. Take some.
It's not the end of the world.
Did we have PTO tryouts that we wanted to see, Michael?
That's an interesting question, because I mentioned the only other one. There may have been others that are announced, but the Devils with Jimmy Hayes. And normally we don't see that many announced, but they're starting to trickle through. But before the podcast, I asked Joe and Beth, do the Rangers even need to have, you know, a PTO defenseman? And because of all the names we just listed, no, they don't need that. There are a couple of guys that are out there that I think may be worth a look. And it's interesting. You know, we've talked a lot about Winnick. He's still unsigned. The former Ranger John Mitchell is someone who I don't know if it was Adam. Someone brought him up, and I thought, you know, there have been worse ideas than bringing back Mitchell, and, you know, he's been marooned in Colorado for forever. I forget if he had any other stops, but the one that Jack brought up in his article was Pierre-Alexandre Parenteau, and I wanted to know what Beth in particular thought of bringing back PA.
Wait, bringing back what?
PA Parenteau.
PA Parenteau.
Pay attention to the podcast, Beth.
Oh, my God, Beth.
I am paying attention to the podcast. I know.
What about Vernon
you're
Fiddler?
You're testing
just for the
me,
aren't
you? It's like you're watching me. Yeah. I was trying to figure out if something was from Legally Blonde, okay? I got sucked into something. But now I'm back.
Yeah, I know.
She's back.
Oh, Chason. Alex Chason.
Okay.
But again, we don't need wingers, but still. Why the hell
Daniel
not?
Daniel Winnick? Little Winnick action? I can't believe he's not signed yet.
Yeah, that is surprising to me. And we've heard, you know, Jágr might land in Calgary, but, you know, that one is definitely a head-scratcher to me. Vanek hasn't signed yet, has he?
Who?
Thomas Vanek, or did he sign?
No, well, again, perception against reality. You like Jágr's too slow, everybody says, and I agree. He's probably pretty slow, but he's played at a top line player last year. He played to those metrics.
Yeah.
He was a top line player last year. If you looked at all the number one line players, Jaromír Jágr's metrics matched with all of them, whatever that average was. So he's a player who can give you some really good hockey, even though he's like 58 years old.
hey, he's my age. Leave me alone.
Winnick.
And I'm not 58.
Beth
yeah,
is not
Winnick
58.
Is mine.
Beth,
no,
Beth is 23.
Yager is
Winnick
I honestly
is a guy
feel like not being signed is the league, just another thing the league has not figured out that could be doing it some good. If he goes over to Europe, I mean, he's such a draw. He's got his home traveling Yagers. I don't know. It'll be a tragedy. It's sad.
Why? But
did you guys
what I'm getting? Like, Vegas should be all over Jaromir Jagr. They should throw
yeah,
whatever
really
money they
be.
Have left at him. Because he could literally be the face of the franchise. He, oh my God, him in Vegas would be the greatest thing in the world. Yeah, one
oh
of my,
my
great
God.
Regrets.
This is John Scott. He can, I mean, he can play hockey. Like you said, his numbers still line up. Okay, no offense to John Scott. Nobody attack me there. But you guys know what I mean. I mean, he can play the game. The fact that we're letting him out, go out of the league potentially.
Well,
is
we're not.
Ridiculous.
It's not our decision.
It is totally our decision, Joe. We're deciding right here, right now, the fate of Jaromir Jagr.
But we're not letting him leave.
That's true. I won't let him leave.
No. The great regret of 24/7 was that Jagr was not a part of it. That is my great regret of the 24/7 season when the Rangers were in the Winter Classic, that there was no Jaromir Jagr. Because he is unbelievably funny. He really is. He's a great personality. The NHL never marketed him the right way. And I think Jagr liked playing second fiddle. I'll be completely honest with you. He's another one that I don't think was a good captain in New York. But, God damn.
He scored so many points.
Sign him, Vegas. What are you doing? He could get local deals with casinos. Oh, my God. There's so much possibility. There's so much possibility.
Don't you feel like the league should be working behind the scenes to make this happen? And don't you feel like they're not?
Well,
I guess
yeah, Bettman should be on the phone with Vegas. Just like, listen, can you get your shit together, please? I just need you to sign Jagr. Just sign Jaromir Jagr. Do not let Calgary sign him. Just sign Jaromir Jagr. As illegal as that conversation would be, theoretically, just sign Jaromir Jagr. That's the end of that.
For the good of the sport, which is a thing that they have apparently not heard of.
No, well, they don't even know what that means. The NHL has no idea how to market themselves. None. If you put the NHL's marketing like group and a paper bag in the same room, they would come out with the same number of successful ideas in terms
no,
of marketing themselves.
No, they didn't find their way out is the problem.
Well, the paper
They're
bag is against them this time. It's not holding them in. It's just competitively designing things. Mike is typing furiously somewhere.
I don't want to talk about it.
The podcast has been ruined. It is 8:48. We are in the Tony time. This podcast got off the rails.
The podcast is fine.
There are no rails.
There are no rails on the podcast train. It flies through the air like an aeroplane.
Joe.
Yes.
I wanted
Give
to
me...
see where that went. Actually.
That was pretty damn good, wasn't it?
It wasn't bad. I mean, it was no poor Jimmy Pesci, but it was good.
I have to go back and pour Jimmy Vesey and listen to that brilliance because that was maybe my greatest moment of musical genius ever.
It really
yeah,
was.
Michael,
I need
you,
a sound.
You had a question.
Oh, I was going to ask. I wanted to ask both of you. This is something we're supposed to talk about. Is who your top three teams in order in the Metropolitan Division?
Oof, that is
I woke
a
up
heck. That is a question. Okay, ready? Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Rangers.
Yeah.
This is where part of me really wants to say Columbus.
That's my 1-2-3. I have Pittsburgh, Ragnars, Columbus.
Ragnars?
Yeah, New York Ragnars.
The Ragnars. Yeah, Pittsburgh. I'm going to say that's going to be my group. And then Washington would probably be the fourth. I really like what Columbus did this offseason. I think they made some pretty good strides. And Tortorella is going to wear out his welcome eventually because that's what John Tortorella does. But they have a good goalie. They have some pretty good defenders. I think Columbus is a pretty good hockey team.
I think you're a pretty good friend.
Mike, I think you're the best friend.
Do I need
like
to leave again?
You don't, but you do need to tell us what your top three would be.
I would pit, with great hatred in my heart, I would put Pittsburgh first too. I feel like I need to watch preseason before I know to put whether I want to put the Rangers at second or third.
No, that's fair.
And not whether either. I know where to put Columbus or the Caps at third or fourth. The Caps are on their way down, and I feel bad for Ovi. I'm just going to come right out and say that.
I do not feel bad for Ovechkin.
I feel bad for Ovechkin.
I will feel bad for Ovechkin the minute Lundqvist gets his name on the Stanley Cup. Then I can feel sympathy for other great players who...
For Hank, I hope that
wasn't
given.
I was not insinuating that you wanted Ovechkin to win a cup before Lundqvist, but I often think about Ovechkin and Lundqvist in the same kind of, oh my God, what a shame it would be if he doesn't get his name on the Stanley Cup, but screw you, Ovi. It's all Hank. And honestly, I hate Washington so much that Ovi can never get his name on the cup. That's fine. He could be another Pavel Bure. He's an amazing scorer.
They stop in my ever since the whole year, his mask fell off all the damn time at significant moments. I've never quite forgiven him. And I still think he's Lundqvist light. But that should not factor into my ranking. So, yeah, I ask me again after preseason. We've all got the same top four, I think, and I hate putting Pittsburgh number one, but, I mean, I don't know how not to. So,
yeah.
Ask me in a month.
Yeah. I want Carolina to be better than the Capitals.
Carolina could be my five.
Yeah, they're very, very interesting. They're fun.
And the Devils are
like
my
that
eight.
Team.
The Islanders are my seven, and the Flyers are my six.
See, I don't know. I
might flip flop the Flyers and the Hurricanes. By the way,
I think the Islanders have a chance. I don't know. I've heard like 50-50. There are some people who are like, yeah, they're a fringe playoff team, and you know they did the Eberle trade, but they also no more Hamonic, and that blue line was already not great, and they still have two goalies who. The same problem with goalies they had last season. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Islanders.
It's a good thing it's not our problem. How amazing would it be if Tavares came to the Rangers?
Well, that's the other big...
There is a rumor
in the division
out there. A little bit of that rumor going around.
Wait, what rumor?
It's not really
a
rumor.
He wouldn't have to change his house.
But... There's been some, I guess you could say, educated line drawing that just says that if the Islanders don't want to play ball with Tavares, the Rangers would be more than happy to, and he wouldn't really have to change his lifestyle at all. And to that point, I can't imagine the Islanders are not throwing everything that they have at him. So obviously whatever's keeping him from signing is something else. And he would look great in Ranger blue. That's all I'm trying to say. He would look great as a Ranger. That's it.
Oh, God. They paid him so much. Oh, that would be so amazing.
Yeah, it would be amazing. It really, honestly.
The thing that makes Islanders fans really upset is amazing to me. And that would be so particularly amazing. I mean, aside
from
what
it would
do for the Rangers.
It's such a betrayal. It would be such a betrayal. It would be. Just outstanding. It would be amazing. I'm getting myself excited just thinking about it. Even more so than the fact that Tavares would be 28 or maybe even 27 by then, and who knows how much of a contract the Rangers would have to offer him. But all that aside, all the logistics aside, in a vacuum, it would be, just kissing the tips of your fingertips amazing.
That would be a Blue Apron delicious meal, wouldn't it, Joe?
It would be, Michael. But Blue Apron cut back on their spending.
God damn it.
They're no longer sponsors of the show. Yeah.
Well, I was never a big fan.
Look what happened with Grabner. Can you imagine if that happened? Oh, it would be so tasty and wonderful. My brother's an Islanders fan. And he just
moved. Who's the last Ranger to jump in the other direction?
Ooh. That's a good question.
Parento?
Is it Parento? I was going to say, he's the guy that I think it might be. Because I can't.
Where did get?
I. Who else could it be? I don't know. I don't know.
Golly.
Gee golly, gar.
I feel like John Moore was an Islander, but I feel like John Moore has played for everybody.
John Moore
not
an Islander.
He's a devil.
Did Aaron Asham go from the Rangers to the Islanders? No, right? He went from the Islanders to the Rangers?
Yeah. Golly.
Golly gosh. Here we go. Well, we're going to start to get to some hockey soon. By the way, Philip Hytl scored in his Four Nations tournament debut today. He opened the scoring for the Czech Republic. So, and I think the best part about that is it's an under-20 tournament, and he's 17 years old. It's amazing. Elias Anderson hit the post. I don't know if he did anything else in his game. Alex Nunn is the person that we talked to about that. And I am going on his Twitter right now. It is AJ_Ranger. And I don't see anything about him. And Lakato scored.
Lakato.
He's the fifth or sixth round pick. I don't know. One of them. Okay. Who else? Anything else? Either of you?
I'm happy Beth is back.
I'm happy
Beth
is back too. Yeah, how was Maine?
Oh, Maine was so lovely. So very lovely. I liked it very much. But
did
I did come back.
Did you drink the water straight from the ground?
No, you know that whole Poland Spring is fake, but I don't hold it against Maine.
I didn't know that. I'm holding it against Maine. Screw that.
Yeah, it's all a sham, apparently.
No.
It's not coming. It will be coming to you straight from Maine, but not from actual, like, natural water in Maine. But their senator rides a motorcycle, so that's kind of cool.
No! Look at that.
Joe, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
One of the most recent Rangers to Islanders converts, Mike Motto.
Who is that?
I got nothing.
Former 7th round pick of the Rangers. You don't remember Mike Motto?
I don't even know who that is.
Well, he only played 19 games with the Rangers, and it was in 2001 to 2002, so that's fair.
Well,
I'm sure
some
of our listeners know.
PA didn't go...
PA did it.
Yeah, but so wouldn't he be the most recent?
Well, apparently they did it the same year or around the same year.
That's shocking to me.
You're shocking to me.
Your face is shockingly beautiful.
I like
I'm
that.
I'm shocked all the time by both of you. It's like Baby I'm Amazed, that Paul McCartney song, except I'm shocked by both of you.
Beth.
All the time.
How many games did P.A. Parenteau play for the Rangers? Listen to me. If you get within 10, Joe has to cut off one of his fingers.
Yeah, see, I won't do that because I'm going to say none. I really don't remember.
Make a guess?
Yeah.
Are you guessing 56? Or do you know?
I'm guessing.
Joe is 56. Closer with 6. 6 is closer than 0.
So I don't have to cut off something, do I?
No. You do have to look for Shea, though. The answer was 22.
Hey, as soon as I get near Brady Shea, I plan to lick Brady Shea, and I expect him to be nice about it because he's such a sweet, nice Midwestern boy.
He is not going to be nice about it, but it is absolute podcast topic for when it does happen.
Beth almost said Lady Shea.
She did.
Lady Shea. He's got 17 names. Lady Shea may as well be one of them, but it doesn't work as well as Baby Shea.
Brad Chase. Brady Shea. I like to call him Brady Scrabble.
Chase.
Because that's a good last name for Scrabble.
All
right, this podcast is definitely petered out.
Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. Go there and, donate some money to us so that we can keep doing this.
Joe.
So we can do better than this.
Yes, we'll
name
be better.
Name a New York Ranger whose first name was Tim. Mike, a.k.a. Grind, the show comes to a grinding halt, Murphy.
Tim. No, it's Thomas Tim. Pock, right?
Thomas Polk.
Polk?
From Altria.
No, I don't know. Who is it? It's going to be someone I don't even know.
I can think of two. Tim Taylor and Tim Erickson.
Yeah, no shot. Christian Erickson. That's my answer to that.
Beth, name a ranger whose first name was Dominic.
That's not fair.
You're giving
That's
her all the
like
easy
I know.
Ones.
I was trying to make you look smarter than Joe, but you blew it.
You don't have to try. She's a goddamn professor at NYU.
I came up with Anthony DeClaire for the youngest ranger recently, and I'm proud of that. But yeah.
Apparently
my wife is listening to the TV so loud, as if she's listening from another room and she's trying to hear it from our room.
She's pregnant.
She is pregnant.
You don't want
to.
Everything she does is right.
We're pregnant. We really do.
I have to be nice.
She's literally developing a life.
A child. A human child.
All you're doing is podcasting.
Yeah, you're
just sitting. Listen. This is how you put money on the table for said child.
Well, I think you should put food on the table and money somewhere else, but that's just me.
No. The food goes in the wallet of the money table.
Money table.
Money table.
Yeah.
Money
table. Right. Okay? My table is made of money. Counterfeit money, but
no
money
point.
Nonetheless.
Banging Bobby Farnham and the money table.
Twitter.com/DigDeepBSB. You can also find
Michael.
It
sounds like an amazing male stripper name.
Coming to the stage.
Banging
Bobby
Farnham.
Bobby Farnham.
We're sorry, Bobby Farnham.
Yes, I apologize for this podcast that you're not listening to. You can also find Mike as a women's hockey writer on the Ice Garden. A garden made of ice. SB Nation's women's hockey thing. And then me, Blue Shirt Panther, SB Nation's New York Rangers thing. So, you know, all that stuff.
Banging Bobby Farnham.
I'm so sorry, Bobby Farnham. So soon.
Ladies, get those singles out because here comes Banging Bobby Farnham.
Ted, don't throw quarters. You poked him in the eye last time.
Oh, my.
All right. We love you all.
Number 23 on the ice, number one in your hearts. Banging.
Number one in the stripper pole. We're going to get sued.
I don't know what his number is. I just guessed.
I know nothing about him, so.
I'm sure he does have a number. Anyway, best of luck to Bobby Farnham in training camp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beth as well.
Best of luck to you, kind listener.
So long as you're a Patreon donor. Otherwise.
Even if you're not.
Otherwise, adequate luck to you. You get adequate luck. And then. I feel like we've reached the point of the show. Like, remember when you were a kid and you slept over your friend's house and you were up really late and then everything was funny? That's what this has turned into.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Is it that funny, though?
Well, now it's not because
Beth.
You've made us think about it. Damn it, Beth.
Cheese and crepes.
Cheese and MF and crackers. I don't even know what we're doing anymore. This podcast needs to end.
I want to do a podcast where we have Beth and Shayna.
We should do that. We could do that on the next
Maybe
podcast.
Maybe Shayna and I have our own podcast. Did you ever think about that?
What are you going to go to? You're just immediately going to compete against us? Is that what this is?
It might be.
That's not very nice.
After all we've done for you.
Yeah. What is,
after
what,
all we've
what,
done
what
for you, all the bird knowledge that we've given you, this is what you do?
I knew about birds. You taught me about medieval weapons, which I had no
desire to know. After we taught you that in the event that the world was annihilated and only medieval weapons were around, you don't take a great sword, you take an arbalest. and you
banging.
This is what Bobby. You do. You come up with banging Bobby Farnham, and then you leave. You leave for greener pastures? I don't think so. No.
All right, so we'll just have Shane on the podcast too.
Yes, we'll have Shane on the podcast as well.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
For listening. I'm sorry for everything.
Yeah, we're very sorry.
Everybody's sorry. Good night.
We're all sorry.